Welcome along then to this deep dive. We're digging into the results from the LibTour's second event.
That's right, the April medal. It was held on Sunday the 13th.
Yep, April 13th. And well, you've sent the scorecards over, so we've got the full rundown.
We have indeed. Individual scores, team results, the lot.
So our mission today really is to pull out the key insights, celebrate some triumphs.
And maybe have a little lighthearted look at some of the, let's say, less stellar performances.
Exactly. All in good fun, of course. We're here to make sense of it all.
Sounds good. And what we want to do is sort of piece together the story of how that leaderboard changed, pinpoint those moments that really swung things, you know?
Yeah, understand the journey to the final result. It's not just about who won, but how they got there. The ups and downs.
The drama.
Precisely. It's about peeling back the layers of that single round. Competitive golf always has a story.
Okay, let's dive in. Starting early, after just three holes, Danny Ings, he jumped out to an early lead.
Yeah, he was out front at minus two, had a birdie on the second hole, looked like a really strong start.
Definitely. But you mentioned it wasn't just him.
No, not at all. What's interesting, even that early, is how bunched up it was right behind him. You had a group of five guys all tied at minus one. Steve Dixon, Chris O'Donoghue, Tony Money, Lokesh Patel.
A real log jam.
It was. And they got there differently. Okay. You know, Dixon birdied the second, like Innes, but the others, they all got their birdies on the third.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Suggests maybe those holes played differently or suited different players early on?
Could be. Yeah, maybe the setup or conditions favored certain shots on the second versus the third.
And what about players just hovering around par? We had quite a few at even, right?
We did. Sam Ryan, Charlie French, Tom Jeffrey, Paul Wood, and Chris Stevens, all at even par after three.
Any early warning signs in their cards?
Well, warning signs might be strong, but yeah, hints of struggle. Sam Ryan bogeyed the first hole, so immediately playing catch up.
Right.
Charlie French had a double bogey on the third. That's a tough score to take early. Can really dent your confidence.
Hey, ouch. Yeah.
And then you look further down, the guys at plus one, plus two. Simon Ford had a triple on the second.
Triple?
Yeah, yeah. John Ashen tripled the first. Suki Saran doubled the first. Peter Green doubled the first and the third. Ian Smith tripled the second. David Washoe had a bogey and a double.
So those first three holes were really sorting people out quickly.
Absolutely. Seems like the first, second, third were definitely causing some problems right out of the gate. Mm. No easy start.
Okay, let's move it forward a bit. After six holes, what did the picture look like then? Were there big shifts?
Oh, yeah. This was the first major shuffle at the very top. Steve Dixon, who was in that group at minus one, he'd pushed on, birdied the sixth hole. Suddenly, he's leading outright at minus three.
So he jumped ahead.
Took the lead. But maybe even more striking was Charlie French. Remember, he doubled the third?
Yeah, it was back at even par.
Well, after six, he jumped all the way up to second place at minus one.
Wow, that's quite a recovery after that early double. Shows some grit.
Definitely. Real resilience there.
What about the early leader, Danny Innes? Did he keep it going?
No, actually. He hit a bit of a speed bump, dropped back. Yeah, consecutive bogeys on the fourth and fifth holes. That pushed him back to even par, tied for third.
Okay, so his fast start stalled a bit.
It did. Sam Ryan was also there at even par. He'd parred five, but then bogeyed six. So sort of up and down for him.
Right.
And Chris O'Donoghue and Tony Money also landed in that even par group. They had a mix of pars and bogeys.
Mm.
Well, Chris actually had a double on the sixth. So yeah, even par was becoming a popular spot just behind Dixon.
And any other big movers, maybe in the wrong direction?
Absolutely. Tom Jeffrey, who started even par. He had a costly triple bogey on the fifth, knocking back to plus one.
Oof, the fifth hole causing trouble too.
Seems like it. And we saw bigger slides for David Washer, John Ashen, and Chris Stevens. They were all at plus two by this point.
What happened there?
High scores on five and six, mostly. Ashen doubled the fifth. Stevens had a really rough patch, triple on five, double on six.
Yikes.
That really shows how just a couple of bad holes in this format can really set you tumbling down the leaderboard.
So that middle part of the front nine really mixed things up. Let's go to the turn. Nine holes down. How were things looking?
Okay. At the turn, Steve Dixon was still holding firm. Managed to edge slightly further ahead, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Par on nine got him to minus four.
Looking solid. Four under at the turn.
Very solid. But the pack behind him had tightened up again.
Oh.
Yeah. Sam Ryan, Chris O'Donoghue, and Charlie French. We're now all tied for second place at minus one.
So a three-shot lead for Dixon, but three guys right there waiting.
Exactly. ready to pounce if he slipped. And worth noting, Charlie French had actually bogeyed the eighth, so he was sort of battling to stay in that group.
Right, and Tony Money.
He was just behind them. Solo fifth at even par, still definitely in the mix.
What about Danny Innes? Was he hanging in there?
He'd unfortunately slipped back a bit more. Another bogey, this time on the seventh, put him at plus one. Tied for sixth with Tom Jeffrey.
Mm.
Paul Salvage had moved up into plus two. And then you started to see a bit more separation.
Oh, so.
Well, Ian Smith, John Ash, and Chris Stevens were all grouped at plus three. Those earlier big numbers were clearly taking a toll.
More mistakes creeping in, maybe. Trying too hard to recover.
Quite possibly. Smith doubled the seventh. Ash and bogeyed eight. And Stevens had another blow up, a triple bogey on the eighth.
Man, tough run for him.
Yeah. It really felt like the main contenders were starting to emerge as they headed towards, you know, the traditionally tougher back nine.
Yeah, the back nine, often where it's decided. So let's see what happened. After 12 holes, any big changes?
Well, surprisingly, perhaps, Steve Dixon actually stretched his lead again. He was now sitting at minus six.
Minus six, wow.
It was impressive. He actually made a double bogey on the 11th, which is often a tough hole.
Oh, okay, so a wobble.
A wobble, yes. But then he immediately bounced back with a birdie on the 12th, part of the 10th, too. So despite the double, he gained two shots over those three holes. Shows real composure.
That's strong. What about the chasing pack in Otis?
Danny Innes had managed a bit of a recovery. He birdied the 10th, which got him back into a tie for second at minus one.
Okay, back under par. Who was he tied with?
Sam Ryan. Though Ryan had bogeyed the 12th, so he was kind of holding steady at minus one rather than gaining.
Right. And O'Donohue and Money?
They'd both slipped back slightly to even par. O'Donohue bogeyed the 12th, and Tony Money doubled the 11th.
That 11th hole again.
Yeah, seems like it was a real keyhole on the back nine, causing problems for quite a few players.
Any other significant shifts further down?
Definitely. Paul Salvage and Charlie French were now both at plus two. For Charlie, it had been a really tough three holes after his front nine recovery.
Oh no, what happened?
Triple bogey on 11, then a double bogey on 12.
Ouch. Five shots gone in two holes. That kills momentum.
Completely. Simon Ford had also emerged, moving into that plus two group.
Oh, okay.
But on the flip side, Tom Jeffrey and Ian Smith had fallen further back. Suggests maybe the back nine pressure, the difficulty, was just amplifying earlier issues for some. You definitely saw bigger scores cropping up.
Yeah, bigger swings, maybe people taking more risks, or just the course biting back harder.
Probably a bit of both. The pressure ramps up,
yeah.
You try to force things, and mistakes get punished more severely.
Okay, sounds like things are getting really intense. Let's jump forward again. After 15 holes, now we're really in the home stretch. What was the state of play?
Uh-oh. This is where it got really interesting at the top. Steve Dixon's lead, it had shrunk a lot.
Oh, really? How much?
He bogeyed both the 13th and the 15th, dropped him back to minus four. Suddenly, that comfortable lead looked, well, less comfortable.
Okay, minus four. Who was closest?
It was now a tie for second again, but only three shots back at minus one. Danny Innes and Chris O'Donohue.
Innes back in the picture.
Big time. He birdied 14, but then bogeyed 15, actually mirroring Dixon on that hole.
Mm-hmm.
Chris O'Donohue birdied 13, so they were right there.
Wow. What about Sam Ryan? He was minus one after 12?
He'd slipped back. Mm. A costly double bogey on the 15th. Wiped out his par on 14. Dropped him to even par, solo fourth.
Man, that 15th sounds like it was crucial, too. Bogeys for the leaders, a double for Ryan.
Absolutely. Felt like the pressure was really mounting. The lead felt very much up for grabs heading into the last three.
Anyone else still potentially in the hunt?
Well, Simon Ford had quietly moved up to plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Just needed a strong finish and some help.
Right.
Charlie French and Tony Money were now at plus two. Both had bogeyed 13 and 15. Charlie also had another double on 14 this time. His round was just
a roller coaster.
Absolutely. Highs and lows all the way. Paul Salvage and Tom Jeffrey were further back at plus three. But yeah, the focus was really narrowing on those top four or five guys.
You can just feel the tension building for those last few holes. Okay, let's get to it. The finish line. After 18 holes, who came out on top?
It was an absolutely stunning finish. Danny Innes, he snatched the victory.
No way. How?
Finished at minus one, bogeyed the 17th, which must have felt like a blow, but then birdied the 18th.
Clutch birdie on the last.
Incredible composure. Grabbed the win right at the end.
Amazing. So what happened to Steve Dixon? He was leading with three to go.
Oh, it was heartbreak for him, honestly. He finished second, also at minus one.
Tied
on score, yeah. But his finish, it was disastrous. He went double bogey on 16, bogey on 17, double bogey on 18.
Oh my goodness. Double bogey. Bogey, double bogey to finish when leading.
Yep. 5 shots gone in the last 3 holes. But just a brutal reminder of how tough it is to close out a win under pressure.
Wow. That is painful. What about the others we were tracking? Sam Ryan and Chris O'Donoghue. They were right there, too.
They faded slightly at the very end. Sam Ryan finished 3rd at +1. He doubled the 17th.
That's 17th again.
Exactly. And Chris O'Donoghue finished 4th, also +1, but he had a triple bogey on 17.
A triple on 17. Man, that hole really defined the podium spots, didn't it?
It really did. Wreaked havoc on the leaders. Paul Salvage held on for 5th at +2.
Anyone else make a late move or have a notable finish?
Yeah, Anthony Lisa got a good finish. Parred his last 3 to get 7th at +3. Charlie French and Tony Money, who were in the mix, both finished at +2. They both doubled the 16th, actually.
More trouble late on.
Definitely. And you have to mention Chris Stevens, the scorecard notes, a nightmare on the 16th for him. Suki Saran and Randeep Gill also had tough closing stretches, ending up much lower than they might have hoped earlier.
Okay, so looking at the final results table, Innes and Dixon both shot 71 minus 1, but Innes got first. How was the tie broken?
Right, good question. It comes down to something called the IG position. This Lib Tour event runs alongside the main club competition, which uses the intelligent golf system.
Ah, okay.
So for Lib Tour ties, they use the finishing position from that main club comp as the tiebreaker. Danny Innes finished 2nd in the IG comp. Steve Dixon finished 3rd.
So that slight difference in the club comp gave Innes the Lib Tour win.
Exactly.
Let's pivot to the team competition then. How did that shake out?
Right, the team results.
Yeah.
Taking the top spot, earning 8 points.
Yeah.
It was swingers.
Ah, makes sense given the individual prizes. What was their score?
Combined score of 145. The counting players were Forday with a 72.
Yep.
And Codd with a 73. Really strong contributions from both.
Fantastic team effort. 8 points is a big haul. Shows their depth.
Definitely does. In 2nd place, really close behind.
How close?
Just 2 shots back. A score of 147 for Big Sticks.
Wow. Who scored for them?
Charlie French shot a great 71. That was key.
Very nice.
And Duncan Jenner, DJ, added a 76. So 7 points for Big Sticks.
That 71 from Charlie really kept them in the hunt. Every shot matters in these team events, doesn't it?
Hugely. Especially at the top.
Okay, 3rd place.
That went to Bogey Boys. They finished with 148.
Another tight one.
Very tight. Sam Ryan's excellent 70 was their anchor score, obviously.
Right.
And Peter Green contributed at 78. That gives us 6 points.
Good result for the Bogey Boys. Right in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Now, 4th place was actually a tie-on score. Also 148.
Oh, interesting. How did they split that?
It went down to the IG position tiebreaker. 2 ballers came out on top for 4th.
Okay, 2 ballers take 4th. Their scores.
Tony Money shot 73, and their captain, Anthony Elisak, shot 75.
So 5 points for 2 ballers then. Those tiebreakers can be crucial later on.
Absolutely. Every point counts towards the season total.
Just both.
5th went to Shanks and Big Hook. Total score of 150.
Yeah, and their players.
Their captain, Steve Dixon, contributed his 71.
Which we know is a great score.
Exactly. And Paul Wood added a 79, so that's 4 points for them.
Decent points haul, even if not quite top 3 this time.
Still valuable points, yeah. 6th place was claimed by Eureka's.
Eureka's, okay. Captained by Terry Hare, I think.
That's right. Their score was 154. John Ashen shot 76.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian Smith, or Smithy, carded a 78. They get 3 points for that.
All right, Eureka's on the board with 3 points.
Every little helps. 7th place went to Regular Flex.
Regular Flex. Captained by Dish, David Washer.
That's the one. Their score was 157. Dish himself shot 76.
Okay.
And Gareth Coulter added an 81. That earned them 2 points.
Tougher day for Regular Flex, but still, 2 points is better than none.
True. They'll look to bounce back next time.
Which brings us to the last team.
Balls Deep. How did they fare?
Well, they got 1 point. Their score was just Danny Innes's 68.
Ah, because you need 2 scores to combine.
Exactly. Danny was their only player whose score counted, or perhaps their only player who played or finished. Either way, only 1 score. He was their wild card too, obviously.
So his brilliant individual win only translated into a single team score and 1 point because there was no second score to add.
That's the tough part of the team format. Shows you need depth, not just 1 star performance.
Definitely underlines the team aspect.
Right then. Now, as promised, let's have a little look at the other end of the leaderboard. All in good fun, remember.
Always.
Okay.
Who's first up for the gentle roasting?
Let's start with Terry Hare from Eureka's. We mentioned he's the captain. His final score was 83.
Okay, 83. Not terrible, but maybe not what he hoped for.
Well, the word is his first hole was a 10.
Ouch. A 10. on the first hole.
Yep. The dreaded Snowman Plus.
Mm. Oh, dear. That's a tough start. Really tough. We've all been there, digging yourself out from the first key.
Haven't we just? Shows how one bad hole can really wreck a scorecard. Hopefully he steadied things after that.
Let's hope so. Who's next on the list?
Next, Suki Saran from Big Sticks. He carded an 86.
Okay, 86.
Now we have it on good authority. It was his birthday.
The birthday round curse. Maybe a bit too much celebrating the night before.
Or maybe just the pressure of performing on your special day.
Could be. Or perhaps dreaming of cake instead of focusing on the swing. Hope you still had a good day overall.
Absolutely. The golf is only part of it.
Right. Though we have Randip Gilligan.
From Swingers, yeah. We mentioned he got prize money despite.
Despite the 89, yeah. Just goes to show, doesn't it?
What does it show? That golf is weird.
Huh. Well, that too. But maybe just that it's always worth finishing the round. You never know. Even on an off day.
True. It's all relative to the field, I suppose.
Exactly. And Lokesh Patel, also at the 89. Now, Lokesh was the wild card pick for Shanks and Big Hook.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Obviously, the wild card status doesn't change his individual medal score, but you have to think the team captain was maybe hoping for something a bit lower from their wild card selection that day.
Probably fair to say. But hey, that's the gamble with wild cards, isn't it? Sometimes they pay off, sometimes not so much.
Exactly. So, stepping back now, two events down the OCO Spring Cup and now the April medal. What are the early signs for this season?
Well, Swingers have made a statement here, haven't they? Winning this event, multiple prize winners, they look strong.
Yeah, they've put down a marker. And Shanks and Big Hook, they won the OCO Spring Cup team event, didn't they?
They did. And they were solid again here, finishing high up. They look like real contenders for the overall season, too.
Two teams showing good early form.
For sure. But, you know, it's a long season. Plenty of golf to be played.
Absolutely. Things can change quickly. Form comes and goes. Injuries. Availability.
Exactly. Other teams will have their moments, I'm sure. It'll be interesting to see who challenges these early front runners.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
Oh, and before we forget again, happy birthday one last time to Suki Saran.
Yes. Hope it was a great one, Suki.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive on the April medal.
Yeah, so we had Danny Yenis with that brilliant individual win, especially the low gross score.
Swingers taking the team honors. Pretty convincingly in the end.
Some fun looking at the wider range of scores and understanding those tiebreakers.
It's always more interesting when you dig into the details behind the numbers, isn't it?
Absolutely. Gives you the real story. Okay, final thought to leave everyone with. Two events down. Who are you tipping for the season now? Based on what we've seen, which teams, which individuals look like they're going to be the ones to beat?
Ooh, putting people on the spot. Good question.
Something to ponder. Keep following the Lib Tour, folks, and we'll be back for another deep dive soon.